Hey, we're going to go to the Word of God now. We're going to turn to John chapter 10. And we're going to continue our series in following Jesus. And this message today is entitled Abundant Life. John chapter 10, and we'll read from the first verse. And it says this: Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Lord God, we thank you again for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us through the Holy Spirit, who authored the very word of God. We pray, Holy Spirit, you make the written word come alive. Reveal to us the living word, who is Christ. Give you all the praise and all the glory today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to live life to the max, isn't it true? I know there's a lot of extreme sports. People love to get a thrill. That song by Lover Boys, everybody's working for the weekend, you know, trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment, trying to find that overflow of joy, that overflow of contentment, that overflow of satisfaction and fulfillment. And how many know that fulfillment and satisfaction of heart can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ, who said is the life, amen? And that life is the light of men. Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees, and just in the chapter previous, there was a blind man that he healed, and the Pharisees questioned this blind man, called him a sinner, and cast him out, excommunicated him from the temple. Jesus received him, amen? Jesus took him in. Jesus is speaking to those religious leaders who are not spiritual. They have a form of godliness, but they resort to denying and defying the very power of God in their hearts and lives. And this is what we see with the Pharisees. Jesus had the hardest and the roughest problem with Pharisees, the religious folk, religiosity, those that kind of have a self-righteousness that is a hindrance to the very righteousness of God. Paul said that I need a righteousness that is not my own. Amen? Our righteousness falls flat. There's none righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. To span the gulf of God's holiness and our sin, we needed a bridge. And that bridge was Jesus Christ. So we thank God for his work on the cross and all that he has done for us. Jesus has proclaimed to us that he has come to give us abundant life. And he relates abundant life to this fact that he is our shepherd. Isn't that awesome? He is our caregiver. He's our provider. He's our guide. He leads us to the place of provision, protection, power, and passion. The life that Jesus Christ is talking about is the life that's found in Christ and Christ alone. There are moments of joy that we have, no doubt. Before you knew Christ, before you were found in Christ, you had moments of ecstasy, moments of happiness, moments of a life thrilled with living. But eventually when you laid your head down on the pillow, you realized that there was a deep need to belong, a deep need to be accepted, a deep need of forgiveness, a deep need of being taken in and embraced by a God who created us on purpose, for a purpose, and with a purpose. God's design before creation that we would have a relationship with Him who would give us life. Ah, yes. But here we find that Jesus made some analogies about His ministry. And the first relied on the idea that sheep instinctively listened only to the voice of their particular shepherd. And in this day and age, when Jesus was alive, sheep were pretty cool. Sheep were happening. If you had sheep, you were all right. You were doing well. But sheep listened to their shepherd. They understood the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd would call out their sheep, and the sheep would come. Many times there would be a sheepfold with many shepherds who had their own sheep, two, three shepherds with their sheep in a sheepfold. And what the shepherd would do was they would come to the sheepfold and begin to call out their sheep. And it'd be a rustling in the sheepfold, you know. The sheep would say, hey, get out of my way, man. My shepherd's here. I got to get to that door. I got to get out to pasture. I hear his voice. Many of the shepherds had names for their sheep. Black leg, brown ear, difficult one. I don't know, but they would have names. Isn't this indicative of how the Lord calls us? Amen? See, we didn't seek after Christ. Christ sought after us. We were the one in the thicket. We were the one that fell down the cavern of sin and shame and guilt and had no way of coming back to the fold. But Jesus Christ left the 99 and He sought you out. He sought me out. And He called us by name. God has called you by name. He knows you. Amen? Jesus referred to Himself as the door. In those days, a shepherd would lay in the doorway of the sheepfold as a protection that nothing would get in to steal the sheep, to harm the sheep. The walls of the sheepfold would be up to 10 feet, and the shepherd would lay in the doorway to protect. Nothing could go in, and nothing could go out. You know, there's ravenous wolves out there, isn't there? There's doctrines of demons. There's seducing spirits. There are agendas and arguments and speculations that want to climb the wall and take us out of the truth and the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a shepherd. Amen? He is the door. And I want to encourage you, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that there's only one way. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus, the door. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you haven't gone through the door. You're thieves. You're robbers. You want to wreak havoc in the sheepfold. You want to scatter. You bring harm and you bring pain and you bring sorrow and hurt to the sheep because you're not the true shepherd. And your agenda and your motivation is self-centered. It's out of greed. It's out of power. And it's out of fame. Jesus called them out. No wonder after this passage of Scripture, they got together and they said, hey, we don't like that guy. Let's stone him. Jesus has a way of getting right down to the heart, don't they? Doesn't he? And it is awesome. There was a story of a man that went to the Middle East, and he knew of a shepherd and he knew of sheep and he knew of this concept that they listened to the voice. He wanted to hear it firsthand. So he said to the shepherd, let me dress up in your clothing and let me go and call the sheep. So he dressed up in the clothing of the shepherd and he went to the sheep and he began to call out the names, the personal names of those sheep. And each personal name that he called out, that sheep began to run away in fear and was scared. It's a telling story, isn't it? When we have the word of truth, we understand deception and deceit, isn't it true? And when someone dressed up like Christ, dressed up, that brings a message that's contrary to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't exalt Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that doesn't exalt Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yeah, we run. Because that is not the voice of our master. Amen? Oh, what a telling story of an awesome relationship that the God of creation desires to speak intimately to you and to me and calls us by name. He called you one day. He sought you on that day. He revealed himself to you as the shepherd. Oh, yes. He knows us by name. He is the door. And we see here that he desires to give us abundant life. It's interesting here that in John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. Amen? Life more abundantly. Wonderful verses of truth that I just want to share with you now. John 1, 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Yeah, but there's people that are alive. But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Listen to this verse. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you were dead in your sins and trespasses. You didn't need a makeover. You didn't need a manicure and a pedicure. Amen. You needed resurrection because we were dead in our sins and trespasses. The door became the way. The shepherd became the lamb. All those shepherds that had those lambs and sheep had to take a lamb, take it to the temple, and sacrifice it to cover their sins. But our shepherd, friends, our shepherd was destined before the foundation of the world to be the lamb that was slaughtered. Amen? The sinless lamb of God to take away our sin, to forgive us, to give us new life in Christ, life that is spiritual, life that is alive. Jesus said it. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you, and here it is, friends, they are spirit and they are life. Amen? When Christ came to you and began to speak about your sin, he didn't leave you there. He didn't condemn you. He didn't want you to dwell in your shame, guilt, and condemnation, but he said, listen, I have made a way. I was the shepherd, but I laid my life down for you, the sheep. And that's why we praise him. That's why we get a little excited. That's why maybe a tear comes to your eye because of the great love and grace of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. He loves you today. Amen. He loves you. How many know sheep are pretty stupid? How many know we can be pretty stupid as well? Raise your hand if you've been stupid in your life. All of you other stupid people are liars. Amen? Oh, man. We have been stupid. And here's the thing. As human beings, we don't want to be around stupid people because it's contagious. Jesus doesn't mind. Amen? Jesus takes our stupidity. He takes our weaknesses. He takes our inadequacies and our insufficiencies. He wraps them up in the word of truth and the Holy Spirit. And he bakes something wonderful that would give glory and honor to God. This is the truth of God's word, that God wants to use you. God wants to give you abundant life. A life that's maybe not filled with wealth and prosperity. It might not be filled with fame and glory. It might not be filled with even the things that you think will satisfy your heart. It will be filled with Christ and Christ alone. We understand that we've never seen a hearse drive down the road with a U-Haul behind it. Amen. We can't take anything with us. But what we can take is our relationship with Jesus Christ, that intimate personal relationship with Christ, the wooing of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to a friend at work, and he said he's just been feeling like he's got to get back to God, get back to the church. And I said to him, and I love this word, woo. Man, the Holy Spirit's been wooing you. And he knew what that meant. The Holy Spirit desire is to save every individual. Amen. He has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And that's the power of the gospel. He's wooing you today. If you've never accepted him, oh man, he's after you like the hound of heaven. He's going to be on you, man, because he wants to give you life. Life more abundantly. Life abounding. Life that is true and life that is real. Let's talk about abundant life. Abundant life means something more meaningful than wealth and prosperity. But listen to me. If God wants to give you wealth and prosperity, take it. Amen? Sometimes it's more blessed to receive than to give if the Lord wants to give to you so that you can bless others. Amen? Everything that we have is from God. We are stewards and managers of everything entrusted to us, our money, our time, our treasure, our family, our kids, stewards and managers, managing them and guiding them so that everything that we have can be used for the glory of God. Here it is. This abundant life that Christ is speaking about is a life that is overflowing of the Spirit of God. Like we said before, the flesh is no help at all. No help at all. John chapter 6. If you've relied on the flesh to get over your addictions and the things that you struggle with, you are engaging in the law of diminishing returns, friends. The more that you use your flesh to try and use your willpower to end things and to get out of things, no. You need a transformation of heart. You need a resurrection. Amen? And Jesus Christ is the one that comes. And as we accept Christ as our Savior, our spiritual life that was dead now becomes alive. Amen? And like your mama spewed you forth into this world, the Holy Spirit spews you forth into the kingdom of God. And you begin to see and the perception and the perspective of the kingdom of God. We no longer look through eyes of flesh. Amen? We see people in the spiritual realm. We see the potential of somebody that's broken, that's hurting, that's suffering. We see through God's eyes what that person can be without judgment. We serve and with grace, and we begin to shepherd people to the things of God. Abundant life, over and above, more than enough, super abundant in quantity. Amen? Quantity. Have you ever worshiped the Lord, and you've been worshiping the Lord in spirit, and you just felt like, all right, this is too much, Lord. I'm feeling too much joy. I'm feeling too much peace. I'm feeling like I can tackle the world with your passion and your purpose and your presence in my life. This is too much. No, it's not. Receive it. Amen. It's the power of the Holy Spirit molding you and shaping you. He is super abundant in quantity. He wants to fill your life. The Bible says he fills everything in every way. And he is our all in all. Amen. Can you give him your family today? Can you give him your finances today? Can you give him that job? Can you give him the thoughts and reasonings in your mind of what would make you happy and fulfilled? Can you give him that relationship? Can you give him everything that you are and everything that you have? And let him lead you as the shepherd today of your heart, the lover of your soul. Oh, God is good. Overflowing, extraordinary, more than sufficient. Amen? Ah, God is good. This Greek word for saved is delivered, safe, rescued. Nothing can touch our lives without touching him first. This is an awesome thought. Our lives today are hidden with Christ in God. The devil can't get at you. Your problems won't bring you down. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's found in Jesus Christ. He's on to you. Amen. He's got you in the palm of his hand, and he loves you today. He's our shepherd. The shepherd would bring his lamb. Now the shepherd has brought himself so that we might be saved. Martin Luther was way ahead of our social justice warriors today in using pronouns. I just want to let you know that. Hundreds of years ago, when Martin Luther walked the earth, he understood the need of personal pronouns. Very, very important. And here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen? The Lord is my Lord. The Lord is my Savior. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our provider. The Lord is my. He is mine. Amen? Christians go by the pronouns of my and mine. Everything that Christ has won on the cross is ours through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, what a great God we serve. Don't be like the Pharisees. Never once did they calculate their heart before God. They served God with their lips. They served God in outward deeds so that men would praise him. But they never gave their heart to the Lord, and they never came before the Lord and said, Lord, my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. How can I know it? And God revealed to us through Ezekiel that God's desire is to give us a new mind and a new heart through the power of the Holy Spirit that's ministering to us today, that's ministered to us through our worship, that ministers to us through our fellowship, that ministers to us through our giving. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you doubt God in any area of your life? Maybe your finances. Maybe you take the checkbook out and you're looking like, okay, I got to get a mask and I got to get down to that convenience store, man. I got to do something. Don't get the mask and don't go to the convenience store. You know why? Because the Lord is your provider. Amen? We live in this sense and this paradox of not having, but yet having everything. And everything comes into our world of not having anything when we claim the promises of God. Amen? Yeah, you might be looking at your checkbook and saying, wow. But God is saying, I am your Jehovah Jireh. Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's a promise that you can take to the bank, so to speak. Amen? Because all the promises of God are yes and amen concerning us. Do you believe in the promises of God today? Is there any doubt in your life today that God has you, that God sees you, that the goodness of God is operating in your life? You know why? Because he is your shepherd and he laid down his life for you. Oh, what a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. The Lord is my shepherd. Friends, we are engaged in this awesome revelation of the fact that the God of creation now dwells in us. The very same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, what is it? Now dwells in you. Amen? He that raised Christ Jesus from the dead gives life to our very mortal bodies. Amen? How many need a touch in your body today? Are you feeling the aches and the pains? We need a touch from Christ. Amen? You might feel like you're 25. You ain't anymore, older folks. The great thing about our shepherd is he brings care to us in our mind, our body, our soul, and our spirit. He's an ever-encompassing God, a full-package God that touches every fiber and fabric of our being, and we serve him. My prayer to you today is that you will claim Christ as your shepherd and that you will begin to walk in this superabounding, awesome, abundant life that's found in Christ. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we love you today. We thank you that in a world that's seeking for things to satisfy. You are a God that sought us out to bring satisfaction and fulfillment. How you loved us, how you bless us. And God, there might be those today that have never really said or claimed Christ as their own. And I pray today that they would have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to say today, the Lord is my Savior and the Lord is my Lord. We give you all the praise. Let's worship him. He loves us. Amen.